This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Brian Fernandez and Tan Chung Han with the top business stories of the day. We go first to the recent updates on the Felder Global Venture story.
So there have been added calls for a new FGV chairman. So according to a report in The Edge, a group of about 40 second-generation Felder settlers, they have called for the current chairman, Tan Sri Muhammad Isa Abdul Samad, to step down. Now, who should he replace? Who should he be replaced with? The current chairman of Felder, that's Tan Sri Shahrir Abdul Samad.
Well, the interesting thing about it is Tan Sri Idris Jala was sent by the Prime Minister literally to get to the bottom of the matter, and very, very quickly, apparently the report's already ready.
Yeah, also, if you remember, just a week ago, Dato Sri Idris Jala, who's because with the cabinet for a period and headed Pamandu, was caught up in some controversy about whether he is the right man to do it. We, in fact, spoke to somebody from a watchdog body yesterday.
Watchdog group.
Right, group, precisely on this question of his involvement and whether he's the right person to do it.
Yeah, we spoke about that yesterday, and you can check out that call on our website. It's our podcast there. And criticisms on whether a political figure should intervene in the FGV debacle, really. Nevertheless, Dato Sri Najib Razak, our Prime Minister, says that report is ready, that report by Dato Sri Idris Jala, and it will be announced at an appropriate time. So we'll have to
also
wait and see.
Also, Han, very quickly, just to answer, has Tan Sri Muhammad Isa responded to these calls for him to step down? I know that when ANA, that NGO representing Felder settlers, made that call more than a week ago, he said he wouldn't. This time around, is he budging? Is there any difference in the tone of his response?
Well, let me just read a quote that was carried in The Edge Financial Daily today. This is from Tan Sri Muhammad Isa. He says, and I quote, "I was advised not to comment on any matter pertaining to FGV for now. As it is, I am still the chairman, and when the time is right, I will respond to all allegations leveled against me." So, yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Certainly very much a public feud that is being played out before our eyes, and I doubt this will be the latest twist in this ongoing saga.
Okay, let's move on to the other story that's in our crosshairs. Morgan Stanley has revised Malaysia's GDP growth upwards for 2017-2018 on export recovery and pre-election spending. Morgan Stanley has said that the GDP forecast for Malaysia has been revised up to 5% from an earlier projection of 4.5% and 4.6% for 2017-2018, respectively. Let's read a bit from the release. Malaysia is one of the momentum economies that we see an upswing in cyclical growth supported by export recovery or currency depreciation and pre-election spending.
Well, this continues the good feel-good stories that have come out over the last few months about Malaysia. In fact, it echoes the World Bank forecast as well, which also increases forecast to 4.9% for 2017. We reported, according to the World Bank report, robust growth of 5.6% in the first quarter of this year, underpinned really by strong export increases. An interesting thing about the export increases is where they're coming from. Now, total trade with China expanded 34%, but in the EU, 22%, and Japan as well, 18%. And our traditional strong export partner, the US, expanded by 12%.
Yeah, and so when you look at, say, the export figures, at least those that have been reported so far this year, for January through April, we have seen double-digit growth, on-year growth for our exports. So just adding on to what Brian said there. Now, essentially, when we look at these upward revisions by the World Bank, by Morgan Stanley, and also by various other economists, the idea here is this, that Malaysia's economy is performing better than expected. That's in layman terms. And we saw that in the first quarter already, right? Our first quarter print came in at, 5.6%, way better than the mid-fours that were expected, at least according to the Bloomberg survey's median estimate. So now it looks like Morgan Stanley next to jump on that bandwagon in terms of revising Malaysia's GDP growth upwards.
The question is also, how much of those big-ticket infrastructure projects are adding to this, if this, and this might be seen as pump priming, we have the LRT, we have the East Coast Railway, we have the high-speed rail, Kuantan Port, Malacca Gateway Project, all. But with this other part to the dimension to the story, which is that all of them are China-led. And is there some sort of danger in that?
So speaking of China-led as well, I agree with you, Sharad. I think depending on one trading partner too much is not a good thing. But that China story carries forward into the tourism arrivals as well. Malaysia has had a relatively flattish tourism numbers of about ranging between 25 and 27 million over the last 3 years. But in 2017, our projections are for 30.5 million, up from just under 27 million last year, fueled by increased China tourism.
Yeah, and so not just tourism, but also, say, FDI, right, Sharad? We spoke about this yesterday. You know, how if you look at the FDI, that's foreign direct investment levels here into Malaysia. I mean, from 2010 up until last year, 2016, it more than doubled, you know, up to about 60 billion ringgit or so last year. So you have the kind of upward swings, not just in terms of our GDP, FDI, and hopefully our tourism arrivals as well.
Also, for the man on the street, the question of inflation. Morgan Stanley has also revised its forecast on Malaysian inflation. Brian, you have the numbers.
Yeah, the headline inflation is expected to pick up from 3.8% in 2017, but would expect it to go down in 2018 to 2.2%, basically driven by potentially lower oil prices.
Yeah, so essentially you've got the official target range, right, of 3 to 4%. That's Bank Negara's inflation range. Now, previously, in Morgan Stanley's eyes, they expected CPI, that's the consumer price index, to hit about 3% for this year. Now they've revised it upwards to 3.8%. So prices of things are expected to go up higher, like you said, due mainly to oil prices. But 2018, the outlook, you know, should be somewhat of something of a moderation, because from that 3.8% in inflation that they're expecting this year, next year's forecast, though, for inflation down to 2.2%.
On the flip side of the equation, however, both Morgan Stanley and the World Bank report consistently have mentioned that Malaysia still has challenges in terms of speeding up structural reforms to the economy, particularly structural reforms in human capital development. And we've talked about this before on the Breakfast Grill, but education, liberalization of the economy, as well as further competition.
Also in the news, Sunway Berhad, it says it has plans to list its healthcare unit within the next 5 years as the group further builds and strengthens its medical brand. Sunway founder and chairman Tan Sri Jeffrey Chia said the group will be pushing to expand its healthcare business, adding a listing of the divisions is also in the cards within the next 5 years. This is Tan Sri Jeffrey Chia.
And to do that, I need funds. Listing the company will be able to for us to marshal funds from the market to do all what we want to do. Definitely. But we need to build a standard, a brand, a strong brand before people are accepting your services and your name.
That was Group Chairman Tan Sri Dr. Jeffrey Chia speaking on the funds from the IPO that will be used to expand Sunway's healthcare division overseas.
So interestingly enough, the two takeaways from the Sunway move is really about, one, increasing its exposure into healthcare and broadening its overall earnings base. And secondly, really enhancing shareholder value by spinning off the healthcare unit and getting higher valuations. So if we look at the healthcare sector itself, TMC Life Sciences trades at the PE of 109 times, IHH at 58 times, and KPJ at 30 times, whereas Sunway Holdings is only turning over at 12.88 times.
So what's the phrase here again that we often hear? Unlock value, right?
Unlock value. Sweat your assets.
That's your favorite one. That's
but that's what you use.
So, sweat your assets, unlock your value, take your pick. But we are seeing that theme being played out, not just in Sunway, but also, let's say, Sime Darby, right? We spoke about how they plan to spin off their at least three units to be standalone entities and with listings. So in Sunway's case, it looks like that IPO could be set for 2019, and especially given the prospects in the healthcare industry? I mean, come on, you know, as we basically look to live longer, right, Sharad?
Yeah, I wonder if investors will be excited by this, because we've talked about the burst, we've talked about the shrinking number of companies there that investors can invest in. You know, we had some, what, 960, it's down to closer to 900. So every, you know, every instance of a news of an impending listing might be good news for those out there who need to put their money somewhere to realize returns.
Yeah, but hopefully the outlook look for, or at least the performance of healthcare stocks here in Malaysia, hopefully their fortunes would reverse. At least, I mean, I think it's safe to say it would by 2019. Because look at IHH, for example, so far this year, down over 5.5%. So maybe Sunway might have to wait a little bit longer for that IPO.
We're coming up to the top of the hour, and because we have the news. And after that, the opening numbers in the market and more analysis on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.